This feast day we're celebrating today is important. This feast of the Immaculate Conception is important, not just because it's our patronal feast day, not just that it's a day that we gather to pray for our nation who has been put under the patronage of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the title of the Immaculate Conception. It's not just important for that reason. That's a very important reason to gather. But it's important that we celebrate it because the Immaculate Conception shows who we're meant to be, who we were created to be from the beginning, how we were meant to live from the very beginning. One thing that's important for us to remember is we were not meant to live in sin. We were not meant to have sin in the world. Instead, we were to be without sin. That sin was not supposed to be a part of humanity's original design. We were created by God to spend eternity with Him in His joy, in His peace, in His love, in His friendship. That was our initial purpose. That was why we were created. And that is why God created Adam and Eve. But of course, as we know, we had to choose to accept that. You know, that love is not something that is forced. It is something that is chosen. And so humanity had to choose whether or not to remain with God for eternity. And, of course, we see the result of that. We see in the first reading where Adam and Eve chose not to live that. You see, they had a very simple commandment. They could eat of any tree. All of the Garden of Eden was theirs to do with as they wish. But there was one tree. One tree that they were not to eat of. And of course, that was the original temptation. The serpent coming to them and saying, oh, you're not supposed to eat that tree? Oh, God knows if you do that, you'll be like Him. You will be gods. And of course, human pride kicks in. Well, I want to be like a god. I want to be up there with Him. I don't want to be just a created being. You know, us created beings were so lowly. And so they chose that fruit. They ate from the tree they weren't supposed to, and suddenly their eyes were open. They saw good and evil. And sin entered into the world. That human pride came into the world. And all of a sudden now the whole world is affected by sin. We now suffer from the effects of sin because of that choice to turn away from God, that initial choice. Now, whether it happened exactly as the Genesis shows it or however it happened, sin entered in the world when it wasn't supposed to. And now we are suffering that effects. Now, instead of the joy and the peace and the love of God that we are to spend eternity with, we now have sorrow and pain in our lives. We now have illness and, of course, death. Death is the ultimate result of Adam and Eve's choice. Humanity, which was created to spend eternity with God, now dies. And so now we deal with the consequences of being cut off from that eternity that God planned for us. Humanity had cut itself off from God, cut itself off from that eternity that He desired that we would have, but He didn't give up on us. He did not give up that we would return to Him. He still wanted us to share in that eternity. And we see the foreshadowing of this at the end of the first reading, where He promises that her offspring and the serpent's offspring would be in competition, would be fighting against each other. But there's this promise: He will strike at your head while you strike at His heel. I love that image in the movie The Passion of the Christ at the very beginning, where Jesus is praying in the garden, and of course He's in anguish over what He's about to do, what is about to happen to Him. And you see that serpent coming towards Him, and He stands up and He stomps on it, crushes its head. That image of the serpent being crushed by Christ, that image of the devil and his temptations and sin being destroyed by Christ. Such an awesome image of that promise of God's being fulfilled. And we know that that promise has been fulfilled because by Mary accepting God's will for her life, our Savior came into the world. Our Savior was born so that He might suffer, die, and rise again for our salvation. eternity would once again be open to us. We could once again have that hope of spending eternity with God. The one who was holy and without blemish was given life through this woman who accepted God's will. Mary accepted God's will so that we might become the adopted sons and daughters of God. And because she accepted his will, she was the first to receive his grace. She was the first to be freed from sin. Because she said yes, at the very moment of her conception, original sin had no effect on her. She became the mother of our Savior. She became the mother of our Savior and our example so that she might be prepared to bring our Savior into the world. Well, just as Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary, accepted God's will, we are called to follow that example. We are called to do the same. We are called to accept God's will in our lives that we might enter into that eternity. We are called to echo her words in this gospel. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. May it be done to me according to thy word. We are to say those words daily because we are given the choice daily whether to follow God or not, whether to spend eternity with him or not. And by saying those words, we seek the kingdom of God over our world. We seek what God has prepared for us for all eternity over the things of this sin-affected world. So today, on this Feast of the Immaculate Conception, we ask Our Lady that we may follow her example, that she may intercede on our behalf, that we may follow her example, that our nation may seek God and seek to do his will, and that we as individuals may also to seek God's will, that we may say yes as she did.